اللهم لك الحمد لك الحمد كما ينبغي لجلال وجهك وعظيم سلطانك لك الحمد حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه لك الحمد ملء السماوات وملء الأرض وملء ما شئت من شيء بعد أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله اللهم صل وسلم عليه وصل على آله وصحابته ومن والاهم واهتدى بهديهم واستنى بسنتهم ودعا بدعوتهم إلى يوم الدين اللهم اجعلنا منهم أما بعد عباد الله أوصيكم ونفسي أولا بتقوى الله اتقوا الله سبحانه وتعالى في السر والعلانية والمنشط والمكره لعلكم تفلحون يقول سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه المجيد ومن آياته أن خلق لكم من أنفسكم أزواجا لتسكنوا إليها وجعل بينكم مودة ورحمة إن في ذلك لآيات لقوم يتفكرون صدق الله وصدق رسول الله ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين All praises be to Allah, the Lord of the worlds, the creator and sustainer of the heavens and the earth, the one who has described himself, introduced himself to us through his beautiful book and through Surah Al-Fatiha, which we recite every day, by invoking the most beautiful names, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, the all-compassionate and all-merciful. So the God that we believe in is above all a God of mercy and love and grace and beauty. So let us focus on this more than we talk about the justice and the wrath and anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. God is wa rahmati wasi'at ghadabi. My mercy encompasses, pervades my wrath. So, and the messenger has been sent as a messenger of mercy. Innama ana rahmatum muhdat. I am a pure gift of mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I must remind myself, and every one of us should remind himself or herself, that we need to reflect this mercy aspect of our religion in the way we talk and think and interact with people and the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I bear witness there is none worthy of worship but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I bear witness that Rasulullah is the final messenger. We expect no other savior to come. The message has come. It is delivered to us. And the messenger has lived by this message. In tangible ways that you and I can relate to. He lived a full life. He experienced the breadth and width, or the horizontally and vertically, the humanity, human experience. He lived as a husband, as a father, as a grandfather, as a businessman, as a worker, as a leader, man of war and war of peace, man of peace. So every single aspect of our life, we can look up to the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And today I want to reflect on this important aspect of the prophetic way. The prophetic way is the natural way. And the natural way is married life. Today, marriage is in crisis. When I stand here on the member, this member or any other member, I look at the faces of young people, boys and girls, who are almost over there, over the hill and now, downward. And many of them still unmarried. And I wonder what will happen. Of course, I will be gone. Many of us will be gone. Who will be populating this masajid? The question should bother me and you. Of course, Muslim Ummah is faced with many, many crises. The most important in my mind, one of the most important crises facing Muslims in North America and the West, and it is also catching up in the Muslim world. Marriage is becoming out of fashion because we are copying the West in everything. Of course, we don't copy them in the efficiency, professionalism, education and knowledge and empowerment. We copy them in the dirt and filth, in the moral corruption and decline. And I must warn myself and everyone here. Let me reflect on this crisis. First of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam alayhi salam, the first man. When he created him, Allah said, Ya Adamu, wa khalaqa minha zawjaha. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam from a single soul, from a soul, and from the same, he created a partner for Adam. Adam alayhi salam was created and Hawa was created. Hawa was to be his spouse, his partner, his companion. Ya Adam uskun anta wa zawjuka al-jannah. O Adam, you and your partner, your spouse, your wife should dwell in the paradise. So Allah created man and created a partner for him. So man is created not to live as a bachelor. This is not the natural life. The fitratullah, the natural way, is married way, married life. Wallahu khalaqa lakum min anfusikum azwajan wa ja'ala lakum min azwajikum banina wa hafada. God created for you spouses from among yourselves. So man has been given a spouse from himself, meaning with the same aptitude, with the same love and affection, with the same feelings and emotions. They share in this humanity. They share in feelings. They share in instincts. God created for you spouses from among yourselves. وَجَعَلَ لَكُم مِّنْ أَزْوَاجِكُمْ بَنِينَ. And God created for you from your spouses children and grandchildren. And God counts it as one of his great favors. And there were three people who came to the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah, the ideal messenger, the role model for the believers. And they spoke, they conversed with the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Aisha sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They wanted to know the lifestyle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Aisha sallallahu alaihi wasallam described his daily routine. Of course, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prays, he takes rest, he fasts one day. He doesn't keep fast another day. Of course, we are not referring to Ramadan, month of Ramadan. Everybody must fast. So he goes to bed, time he goes to bed, and he wakes up for prayer, and he interacts with his wife, eats with them, accompanies them, even to run and walk with them. Companionship. So, when they heard this thing, this routine of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one of them said, you know, they all said, you know, we are not like the Messenger of Allah. He is Allah's Messenger. Allah has forgiven him everything. But you and I, we cannot attain that rank. We cannot be perfect. So one of them said, I will continue to pray all night. I'm not going to sleep. I am going to forego the sleep. Another said, I will continue to fast every day. I'm not going to break my fast during the day. A third one said, I will never get married because I want to devote myself completely to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet of Allah came and he heard what they said. And the Prophet addressed them You know, Allah sent me as the messenger, and I am the most pious among you. I am a role model for you in the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I pray, I sleep, I fast, and I don't fast always, every day, every single day. And I'm married, I have a relation with my spouse. فَمَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَّتِي فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. Whoever shuns this lifestyle, he doesn't belong to my ummah. So the lesson for us is that married life is the ideal life for us. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran emphasizes the important point. وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتُ بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَوْ بَعْضُ. The believers, males and females, are partners and protectors of one another. They have this partnership. The partnership for what? To fulfill the divine mandate. So, husband and wife should be partners, should be companions, should divide the responsibilities to fulfill this mission that Allah has entrusted on our shoulders as Khulafa'ullah, as the vicegerents of Allah, as the shepherds of the earth, as the stewards of the earth. So that can only be done through this cooperation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the purpose of marriage in that beautiful ayah. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ مَزْوَادًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا. Among his signs, reflecting his wisdom and knowledge in the creation is that he created for you spouses from among yourselves. What's the purpose? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-hakim, all-wise and all-knowing. Every law in Islam, according to our scholars, has a wisdom, tangible purpose and wisdom. And of course, scholars of Sharia said there are 5 fundamental objectives for the Sharia legislation. And one of them is procreating, offspring, continuing humanity, human species on the face of the earth. And that is to be done not through scientific experiments, but through actual union between husband and wife. Any other procedure is not the divine way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, خَلَقَ لَكُم مِّنْ أَنفُسِ وَاتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمْ أَلَّذِي خَلَقَكُم مِّنْ نَفْسٍ وَاحِدًا وَخَلَقَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا. Be conscious of your Lord who created you from a single soul and from the same a partner for it. وَبَثَّ مِنْهُمَا رِجَالًا كَثِيرًا. From both of them, through that beautiful union of marriage, Allah wants to propagate humanity on the face of the earth. So, the purpose of marriage, Allah said, multi-purpose. لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا. In order to attain that peace and tranquility, you need a companion. You need freedom from stress. You need that recuperation. You need to relate to a partner. And that partner is your wife. And for the wife, it is your husband. But today, there is no partnership, no companionship. There is this individualism. Each person, it is me. This me has become God. This, we are living in a society developing this and reinforcing this concept. I am a free individual. I am all by myself, for myself. I cater to my ego. I cater to my wishes. I. Nothing else. I. And we are also reinforcing this. No. You are a unity. You are part of the human family. You are part of God's creation. And you need to develop this unity. Join with your spouse in that partnership under a spiritual vision. And through marriage, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want to protect us from vices. Today, one of the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned against this. لَن تَظَهْرِ الْفَاحِشَةُ فِي قَوْمٍ قَطُّ إِلَّا لَهْرَ فِيهِمُ الْأَوْجَاءُ أَلَّتِي لَمْ تَكُنْ فِي أَسْلَافِهِمْ. When promiscuous behavior becomes rampant in a society, They are going to publicize it. They are going to broadcast it. They are going to propagate it. And they are going to continue this kind of lifestyle, immoral lifestyle. Then the consequence will be, إِلَّا ظَهَرَتِهِمُ الْأَوْجَاءُ أَلَّتِي لَمْ تَكُنْ فِي أَصْلَافِهِمْ. They will be afflicted with diseases that were unknown to humanity before. This is what we are seeing all around us. Even Muslim children are afraid. Doctors will tell you that we need to check up our daughters and our boys for the sexually transmitted diseases. It's spreading very fast. It's hidden. The father thinks, the mother thinks, my child, no. Go to these high schools. I was told, and I have myself seen, whenever I have an occasion to go into these high schools, I have seen Muslim girls with hijab sitting in the laps of boys. As soon as they see you, they will run away. And this is happening. And of course, one of the main reasons for it, we provide good, we put obstacles before marriage. We have so many conditions, unrealistic expectations when it comes to marriage. Marriage is wiqaya. Marriage is protection. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Ya ma'ashara shabab, من استطاع منكم الباءة فليتزوج فإنه أغض للبصر وأحسن للفرج. Oh young people, those of you who can afford to get married should do so. Because by doing that, you protect your eyes from lustful looks and stares. Guard your eyes. And it's a protection for your chastity. مَنْ يَضْمَنُ لِي مَا بَيْنَ لَحْيَيْهِ وَمَا بَيْنَ فَخْذَيْهِ أَضْمَنُ لَهُ الْجَنَّةِ. If you guarantee me that you will safeguard your tongue, speech, control your speech, and purify it, and you will control your private parts, I guarantee Jannah. Of course, there has to be faith. With faith and these two conditions, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, He will guarantee everyone Jannah. But if we put so many unrealistic expectations, the hurdles in before marriage, I get questions after questions from girls and boys. I want to marry this person. I'm satisfied about this person, his character and faith, but my father would not accept this. He wants somebody from his ethnic background. Now, this is the biggest mistake parents can make. إِذَا جَاءَكُمْ مَنْ تَرْضَوْنَ دِينَهُ وَخُلُقَهُ فَزَوِّجُهُ وَإِلَّا تَكُنْ فِتْنَةٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَفَسَادٌ عَرِيمٌ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the warning of the Messenger of Mercy sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Messenger has come to save us from our own evil inclinations. He said, when somebody with pleasant character and faith, good faith and good character comes proposing to your daughter, فَزَوِّجُهُ, give your daughter in marriage to him. وَإِلَّا, if you don't do that, تَكُنْ فِتْنَةٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ. You are paving the way for corruption, widespread corruption. This is a question repeated throughout in many websites, because parents block. They don't want their girls to marry someone they want to live with. In Islam, nobody, no father, no mother can force his son or her daughter to marry someone he or she doesn't want to live with. This is the lesson one of the companions of the Prophet taught. Because a lady, young girl, came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam complaining against her father. My father gave me marriage to his relative, لِيَرْفَعَ بِي خَصِيصَتَهُ, in order to raise his family status. The Prophet realized this girl is not happy. You see, listen, parents. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, is it true? You did not ask her permission? And you married her to someone she doesn't want to? The man said, yes. He said, now you are free to divorce. And the Prophet ﷺ wanted to separate them. But at that point, this lady, bold woman, said, I have accepted my father's choice, but I want to let the women know, the Muslim women know, that no one can force them to marry someone they don't want. You see, look at the boldness of the Sahabiyat. You know, everybody has a choice. And as Imam Shawaliullah, Imam Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullahi alayhi said, no father has a right to force his son or daughter, and no mother has a right to force her son or daughter to eat a food they don't want to eat. You eat beef or otherwise. You may eat goat or otherwise. No. That's a person's choice. If that is the case, then nobody should force. Even more important than food is the wife or husband you choose. So nobody has a right to force anyone. But if somebody, so the lesson here is, you know, as great Imam said, there is nothing better than giving consent to lovers to marry each other. Of course, there is no love in the bad sense in Islam. But it's natural for a boy to like a woman, and it's natural for a girl to like a boy. If they did not isolate, if they did not trespass the limits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's just an inclination, and they love each other, and they did not violate, then the parents should be more than glad, because there is nothing more valuable, more precious, more happy, bringing happiness. Because, you know, the marriage has to be, your spouse has to be coolness of your eyes, joy for you. And the basis in Islam for marriage is mawadda wa rahma. I heard people are asking, the journalists are asking this question, that this man is preaching that the wife is a slave. She cannot even step out of the house without the permission of this tyrant. She cannot visit her father who is sick, even if the father dies. Well, what kind of a religion we are preaching? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran says, man has a choice, woman has a choice. And this choice cannot be restricted. Movement of woman cannot be restricted by the husband. This is the lesson that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, taught in Makkah. Wallahi, I will continue this struggle until a woman can travel all by herself from Hira to Haram without any mahram or escort. She will fear no one molesting her or attacking her. She will have to fear for the wolves preying on her sheep. You see, Islam does not want. But of having said that, just as you expect your wife to tell you where she is going, she has a right to expect from you to tell her where you are going. This is partnership. The Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us how this mutual, it should be mutual. This mutual, this is companionship, this is partnership. Taralin wa tashawur, mutual satisfaction and mutual consultation. And the Prophet always gives satisfaction to his wives, and he consulted them, he discussed with them, he sought their opinions. Even in important matters, Ummu Salama radiallahu anha was the one who suggested to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam how to proceed in Sulh al-Hudaybiyah. And yet some of our imams are preaching on the member, you consult your wife, but make sure you go against your opinion. Astaghfirullah. We need to unlearn this, our religion. We need to relearn it from the example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it's my appeal to the brothers and sisters here, facilitate marriage. And it is my appeal to the young people, there is no ideal wife. There is no ideal husband. Are you ideal? You are not. You have weaknesses, you have strengths. Just like she has weaknesses, she has strengths. إِذَا جَاءَكُمْ مَنْ تَرْضَوْنَ دِينَهُ وَخُلُقَهُ فَزَوِّجُهُ. So the two things to look when you consider for marriage is not the wealth, is not the family status, because all of us come from Adam and Hawa. إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتَقَاكُمْ. And the only two factors for compatibility in Islam is deen and khuluq, religion and character. And why they go together. But in our concept now, deen is what? This is a big maulana, he prays, he fasts, but he has no character. Of course, that should not be. Character. Deen and character go together. Somebody who has just simply deen and no character, his deen is deficient. How does he talk? How does he interact with people? How does he interact with a neighbor? Is he present? Is he smiling? Is he caring? Is he compassionate? Does he love others? Or is he all for himself? Selfish. Me, me, me. You know, this is the character. Character is humility, compassion, patience. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that's why Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi said one of the best way to decide whether this man is good for a marriage partner is to send him some naughty kids. How he will handle it, them. Is he angry? He cannot control himself? Then the man has no character. A woman has no character. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was trained to be a shepherd, to learn, master the art of patience. So brothers and sisters, let us take responsibility for saving our future generations, for saving this masajid. We need to encourage our young people, open the door of the Islamic center and masjid for these young people to interact. It's better for them to interact in a clean environment than let force them to interact in the business malls, in the shopping centers, in the haram places, hanging around. No, welcome them here, provide, accept them with a smile. They are going to make mistakes, but let them interact and let them find their suitable partners. This is the way to go. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to take responsibility for saving the future generations of Muslims. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to multiply the Muslim population. تَزَوَّجُ الْوَدُودَ الْوَلُودِ. Marry those women who can bear. Of course, women are not machines. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us one of the important purpose of marriage in Islam is that companionship and partnership, and also to propagate human beings. And of course, when you die, you pass on that thing. The best thing I can leave behind after me is my children who will be inspired to pray for me. So how many of you are leaving behind children? Ask this question. How many of us, men and women, should be able to say, when I am gone, I am not gone. I live through my children who will be continuing that legacy and praying for me and doing the work I used to love to do. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us to the straight path. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم. الحمد لله الذي هدانا إلى دين الإسلام وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي. يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم على عبدك ورسولك محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. Let us pray for our brothers and sisters who have passed away. اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات. Let us also pray for those who are sick and suffering. اللهم رب الناس أذهب الباس اشفي أنت الشافي اشفي أنت الشافي اشفي أنت الشافي شفاء لا يغادر سقما. ربنا لا تدع لنا ذنبا إلا غفرته ولا هما إلا فرجته ولا دينا إلا قضيته ولا مريضا إلا شفيته ولا ميتا إلا رحمته ولا حاجة ترضيك إلا قضيتها يا أرحم الراحمين. ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله. وعليكم السلام.